The recording was stopped and restarted at 9:05 a.m. Dr. King?
Thank you. So the first informal hearing we have today is for Heather Goff, case 2248 PTA. Is Heather on the call with us? I'm not hearing. If you are speaking, you're muted.
Judy, did she accept the invitation?
Yes. I'm not showing that she's present in the meeting at this time, though.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, at this time, you can either, you know, continue the matter to your next meeting. You could just move on to other agenda matters and see if she appears later at this meeting, or you can take whatever action you deem appropriate, including moving this on to a formal if you think that. If you think the investigation is done and that would be the appropriate thing to do.
Thanks, Mr. Harris. Board members, what is your preference for this case? We've reviewed it and now we have an informal hearing.
Somebody is just trying to join. I don't know if that's her.
We're looking for Heather Goff. Heather Goff, have you joined the call?
It's just a phone number, so it must not be her.
And it's displaying as muted still.
Okay.
Okay.
Dr. King, I would propose that we instruct our staff to offer Ms. Goff a consent agreement if we can agree on one. I'm not sure what the board is looking for. And then if she doesn't accept the consent agreement, I would say let's just move this to a formal hearing.
I can give you some ideas of what I was thinking after reading all of the investigative report. I was thinking a disciplinary action of 9 months of probation, CEUs for documentation supervision, CEUs of pediatric therapy, and retake the jurisprudence. So maybe we could start there.
I very similar thoughts to what I had in mind, so.
Okay. Giovanni, Karen, what are your thoughts?
I'd be in agreement with that. I thought that education would be something that's necessary in regard to this case, especially for the pediatric population, as well as the jurisprudence, you know, just making sure that she has a good understanding of the rules.
Yeah,
and I would agree as well, especially with the time frame. I think the 9 months is very reasonable to get this work done and reflect on the issues in the case.
Thank you. So I'll make a motion that we offer a consent agreement to Ms. Goff with 9 months. Well, do I need to do findings of fact and conclusions of law first, Mr. Harris, before I do this?
That would be great, and you could certainly reference the investigative report in doing so.
Okay, so my first motion is that we accept the findings of fact and conclusions of law outlined in the investigative report.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, then let's take a vote.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law as outlined in the investigative report. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. I'll make a motion that we offer Ms. Goff a consent agreement that includes 9 months of probation, eligible for early termination if she meets all of the requirements of the agreement. 6 hours of CEU on, let's do, well, documentation and supervision. Should I break those up? you feel like? 3 hours of documentation, 3 hours of supervision? Is that easier? Okay. 9 hours of pediatric physical therapy. And I'm saying that because she's not here to tell us what she's practicing in. So my assumption, she's still practicing pediatrics. So 9 hours of pediatric CEUs and to retake the jurisprudence exam. And if she doesn't sign it, move to a formal hearing.
Second.
Can I also specify as part of that that the hours won't go toward her renewal period?
Yes, none of the CEU hours will be eligible for her recertification for this licensing period.
Ms. Goff just joined the call.
Mr. Harris, we have a motion and a second.
Yeah, so I think what you may want to do is just kind of table this and conduct the informal hearing. And then at the conclusion, if you still think that's appropriate, you can just move that as a form of order.
Okay, great.
Mr. Harris, could we vote on it now? And then if we change our mind, rescind it?
Absolutely, sure.
Okay. I'd like to do that. That's a good idea. Okay. So we have a motion and a second, and we will take a vote on it and then spend some time speaking with Ms. Goff. And if we need to make any changes, we can rescind it. Okay.
Can you tell me who seconded that motion, please?
I think I did.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Judy, when you're ready.
It's been moved and seconded in case 2242 Heather Goff to offer a consent agreement to include probation for 9 months with the possibility of early termination after successful completion of the following terms. That includes continuing education, which shall also be completed in 9 months. The courses must be pre-approved, may be completed online, and do not count towards renewal requirements, and should be completed in the area of pediatric physical therapy for a minimum of 9 hours, documentation for a minimum of 3 hours, and supervision for a minimum of 3 hours. Also, taking the and successfully passing the Arizona jurisprudence exam, noted as the AZ law. Did that encompass everything?
And if not signed, move to a formal hearing.
Thank you. And if the consent agreement is not signed, the matter will be moved to a formal hearing, remanded to a formal hearing. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, so Ms. Goff, can you confirm verbally that you're on the call with us?
You're muted.
Heather, we can't hear you if you're speaking. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Are you on the call with us?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Are you represented by anyone?
No.
Okay. Thanks. I have a script to read to you regarding your informal hearing, and then the board may want to ask you some questions. Board members, this is for informal hearing case number 2242, Heather Goff, PTA. This interview is being held pursuant of ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any of the following actions: issue a decree of censure, practice restrictions on a licensee's practice, issue a civil penalty not to exceed $500, issue other disciplinary actions, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of specified continuing education. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious enough to warrant action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation, the board of the statutes and rules, the case may be dismissed. If, however, the board finds that the violation warrants potential suspension or revocation of the license or certificate, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. At this time, we'd like to swear in all of the witnesses. Judy?
Ms. Richardson and Ms. Goff, will you please raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Ms. Goff?
I do.
Ms. Richardson?
I do.
Dr. King?
Great, thank you. Mindy, at this time, will you give us an overview of the complaint?
Yes. At the September meeting, the board voted to move case 2242 to an informal hearing and adopted the findings of fact and conclusions of law as outlined in the investigative report. It's alleged that Ms. Goff engaged in an evaluation and initiated a new treatment intervention for a patient with a new injury slash findings, treated patients beyond the third visit under general supervision, created and modified treatment programs and exercises, and did not routinely consult with her supervising PT while treating a vulnerable pediatric population in the home care setting. Ms. Goff received a copy of the draft investigative report, but did not provide a supplemental written response and was not present at the initial review. The potential violation cited in the investigative report is ARS 32-2044-5, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist assistant. This case is for your review.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Goff, it's Kelly King. I'm curious why we didn't see or have the opportunity to speak to you at your initial review.
When the one right before now, I thought it was at a certain time and I didn't get the time right. I'm sorry. I was late.
Okay. So you actually did attend the meeting, just missed your time?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about where you're practicing right now, what you're doing?
I work in Michigan as a physical therapist assistant at an outpatient clinic.
Okay, so outpatient. Outpatient adult or peds?
Both. Mostly adults.
Okay, but both are there. All right. Okay. Prior to working at CJPS, did you have any pediatric experience? Had you ever worked in pediatrics?
Yes. I worked for 2 years at Lionel Holder Rehab Clinic.
Is that an only pediatric office?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about what your understanding is of PT, PTA supervision under general supervision laws here?
I follow the plan of care that was written by the PT. And if I have any questions or have any doubts or concerns, I would contact the PT prior to the treatment.
Did you speak to the PT if you didn't have any questions?
If they were available.
And if they weren't, did you continue to treat the patient?
Depending on the circumstances, yes.
Okay. There was a specific case in the investigative review around particular treatment for a pediatric patient with a swollen ankle. Do you recall what happened in that situation?
Hang on, let me look at my notes here.
Okay.
Was it for Zane?
I didn't put the initials down. Mindy, do you happen to remember the initials for that patient?
Looks like ZP.
ZP. Thank you.
Just the initials doesn't help. Was it Zane?
It sounds like, the initials are ZP. I mean, we could maybe make the assumption it would be Zane, but does that sound familiar that Zane would have had a swollen ankle?
If he did, it was my best professional judgment that that was what was needed at that time.
Ms. Goff, do you have the investigative report? I know I sent it to you.
Yes.
It's referenced in there.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
I'm reading it.
Yeah, he's the only one with the initials ZP.
Okay, thanks. Would you consider that swelling a change in Zane's or in ZP's condition?
Yes, and I probably would have documented that the PT needs to see him or contacted the PT.
And you're saying that did not happen?
I'm not saying that. I don't know if I did or not.
Did you document that you did?
I think I might have just called the PT.
So as I was reading the note, I think it said that you did some intervention around the swelling. Does that sound familiar?
I don't think that I wouldn't have done anything that wasn't within my scope of practice. Then I contacted the PT, or I might have written it in the note. I'm not sure. So I think he probably was seen by a therapist the next visit.
Then I think my last question for you then is, within your scope of practice, are you able to assess a change in a patient's condition and modify treatment based on what you've assessed?
I don't think I changed the treatment. I was making an assessment.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Goff?
Ms. Goff, how much pediatric would you say that you see in the clinic that you're in? I know you said that you see a little bit of that and mostly adults.
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't see many pediatrics at all. I've been there for 2 years and I've only seen one patient.
Okay. Is it mostly, if you do see a pediatric patient, is it mostly ortho related or anything neuro?
One patient did have, she was a neuro patient. She had a CP.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Goff, you're not practicing here in Arizona. Are you planning to return to Arizona?
Undecided.
Okay. Any other questions for Ms. Goff? All right. Thank you, Ms. Goff. Do you have any closing statements to make to us before we start to deliberate?
No.
Thank you. Board members, I'm still comfortable with our findings from the investigative report, and even more so with her testimony that she did continue to treat this patient without the PT seeing them first, with a change in the patient's status.
Yeah, I'm in agreement.
Karen, what are your thoughts?
I would agree as well. I know that we've established that this particular group had a lot of issues as a company wide. And some people got caught up in it, but that still doesn't excuse your need to follow some proper steps. And so having PTC, the patient is very important.
Thank you. Giovanni, anything to add?
Just from, you know, listening to her testimony, I also get the impression that she just doesn't really understand what her role is as a PTA.
Yeah,
he asked her, you know, very clearly, did you assess the patient? And she admitted she did assess the patient. That is not something that we're supposed to be doing. Based on the documentation, there was a change to the plan of care that happened on that date with that patient. So I think that it's definitely necessary to make sure that she gets that information and has a better understanding if she does return to practice in Arizona.
Thank you. Okay, so then I think if you guys are comfortable, then I don't think I need to make a motion that we approve the motion we've already approved. How do I need to close this, Mr. Harris?
Well, Madam Chair, members of the board, at this point, you can just turn that consent agreement into a final board order.
Okay.
If you'd like. And then she has her appeal rights. You can certainly, keep the, original motion in place if you'd like to offer her a consent agreement, and if not, accepted, remand a formal hearing. But you do have the right just at this moment to take final action.
I actually think I'm comfortable with the consent agreement, and if it's not signed, moving to a formal hearing. I mean, that gives her the opportunity to decide where this goes. But Mr. Greer, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, we're very similar to Mr. Harris's, is we could just order this. We don't need her to agree to it. Okay. But I'm not going to stand in your way. I don't think this rises to the level of suspension or revocation. So I think a formal hearing is probably a little too heavy.
Okay.
And so if you'd like, I could make a motion to rescind our prior order and issue a board order consistent with our prior discussion. Is that enough, Mr. Harris?
It is. Yeah.
That's my motion.
Okay.
I'll talk about that.
Great. Any other discussion? Okay. Judy, do you have that?
I believe so. Mr. Harris, do they need to rescind both of them, the findings of facts and conclusions of law? That one can stay. They're rescinding the one for the disciplinary actions and just changing it to a board order with the same terms, correct?
Yeah, as I understand, Mr. Greer's motion was to rescind the previous motion and just for the same reasons issue a board order reflecting the same.
Correct.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, Judy.
It's been moved and seconded to rescind the board's previous motion and for the reasons stated, issue a board order reflecting the same same terms and conditions. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastia?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, that motion passes.
Thank you. Ms. Goff, the board staff will be in touch with you for details around the board order.
Okay.
Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Judy, maybe do you want to stop and restart between each informal hearing?
I don't think so. I think we're okay to continue.
Okay. My clock shows we have 1 minute to 9:30.
Judy, can we see if Mr. Barton's on the call?
I am here. I was just unmuting to say. So.
Okay, perfect. Just wanted to keep record of that. Thank you.
Yes. So at 9:30, let the record show Mr. Barton has arrived. So yes, Dr. King.
Great, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Barton. Mr. Barton, we are on agenda item, and I'll tell you, 7B, informal hearings, case 2244, Manuela Cachaba.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, so is Manuela Cachaba on the call with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, good morning. Are you represented by counsel?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'll read to you the instructions and we will move forward. So Judy, do you want to call roll?
I do, please. Dr. King?
Yes, here.
Board President, Dr. Bustillo, Board Vice President?
Here.
Mr. Leone, Board Secretary?
Here. Oh, sorry.
You're still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
And Mr. Greer, Public Member?
Here.
And Mr. Barton, Public Member?
Here.
Great, thank you. This interview is held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any of the following actions: issue a decree of censure, place restrictions on a licensee's practice, issue a civil penalty not to exceed $500, issue other disciplinary actions, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of specific continuing education. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes or rules, the case may be dismissed. If the board finds that the violation warrants potential suspension or revocation of a license or certificate, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. At this time, Judy, will you swear in the witnesses, please?
Yes, I will. Dr. King, I failed to do a roll call of staff, so if you don't mind, I'll finish that piece of
sure.
it and then yep. we'll swear in the witnesses. Ms. Crowley, the administrative services officer?
Here.
Ms. Richardson, investigator?
Present.
Ms. Sinish, investigator?
Here.
And my name is Judy Chepius. I'm the executive director. Ms. Richardson and Ms. Cachaba, will you please raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Ms. Cachaba?
Yes.
Ms. Richardson?
I do.
Dr. King?
Okay. Ms. Cachaba, would you like to make a statement to the board?
Do you want me to provide a briefing first?
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
At the September meeting, the board voted to move case 2244 to an informal hearing and adopted the findings of facts and conclusions of laws outlined in the investigative report. It is alleged that Ms. Cachaba treated patients beyond the third visit under general supervision, created modified treatment, and did not routinely consult with her supervising PT while treating a vulnerable pediatric population in the home care setting. Ms. Cachaba had no experience treating this patient population and received no clinical training during her tenure. She was provided an opportunity to receive a copy of the draft investigative report, but did not request a copy and was not present at the initial review in September. The potential violation cited in the investigative report is ARS 32-2044-5, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist assistant, including exceeding the authority to perform tasks selected and delegated by the supervising licensee, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. This matter is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Cachaba, would you like to make a statement to the board?
Yes, I would like to clarify regarding the fourth visit. So at the time when I spoke to Ms. Richardson, I did say I didn't know, I couldn't track visits before I started, but then I recalled that I didn't start until the PT started, so I only saw his patients. So by that time, I was able to track. And I'm assuming that these fourth visits that were seen by me were the ones that were done with him on telehealth. And when I would see them on the first visit, I had to still do my documentation as well, even though he was doing his telehealth. So I'm not sure if that was the one that was caught as the fourth visit, but from what I recall, every fourth visit was done by the PT.
Thank you. At this time, the board members may ask you some questions. Ms. Kashaba, how long have you been practicing as a PTA?
Since 2018, so 5 years.
Okay, and where are you working now?
I'm actually not working right now.
Okay. Are you looking for work as a PTA? Are you seeking continued practice in PTA right now?
So, I stopped working because I got married and my husband's from London, so I'm traveling back and forth a lot. So I'm currently in London right now. I'm coming back next week, and that's when, in 2 weeks, and that's when I'll start practicing again.
And where will you be working?
The setting is going to be skilled nursing for the older population.
Okay. Before you started working at in this home health agency, did you have any pediatric experience?
I did not.
Okay. Did they provide training, or did you take CEUs, or how did you know what to do with this really specialized population of patients?
I did shadow a PTA when I first started, and I educated myself using the books from school. I reached out to PTs, or I would talk to my supervising therapist as needed. So to my knowledge, I did give them the best care.
Okay. How were you made aware of what the patient's goals or plan of care was for each of your patients?
I would review the evaluation, and I would speak to the PT.
Did you speak to the PT every day before each child that you worked with?
Sorry, what was that?
Did you speak to the supervising PT every day about every patient you would be working with?
Yes, I didn't work every day.
Each day you worked that you had patients, did you speak to the PTA for those patients or the PT?
Yes.
So you're saying that you had a conversation with the supervising PT about every patient every day that you treated them?
It was mostly a text that I would send, and I would say, now, or today, like if it was two kids that day, I would tell them, right? Not okay.
Did you document those conversations in the patient's chart?
I don't recall. There was a time when documentation was changed, so I genuinely don't recall my documentation. I remember when it got switched to the other one, which was soon after I started, there were a lot of like boxes we could check. So I'm not sure if one of them was, did we communicate with the supervising PT?
Thank you. Any other, anyone else? That's all the questions I have.
Ms. Kashaba, what have you learned from this situation that you can carry forward with you going into the next role that you're going to be working in as far as supervision, communication with the supervising therapist?
To be honest, before I started working there, I had always communicated with my PT regularly, and I followed protocols, and you know, the company also enforced these protocols. One thing I learned from this company is if I have doubts about how the company is, you know, doing their things, I will just take myself out or, you know, figure something out and not put myself in that position, because I've never had a problem before regarding my practice. I've always communicated with my PT. And that when I started this job, soon after, I only worked here a month full time, and then I became part time, only seeing 4 or 5 kids a week. So I took myself out of the situation because I saw that this was not stable. Protocols weren't, I didn't know if they were being followed or not, especially like with the Zoom call, the telehealth, the fourth visit. It was just a lot of things that I know now. If I were to see something like that, I would do things differently. I wouldn't continue on with the company.
Thank you.
I just want to clarify the fourth visit that was the Zoom call that you mentioned in your opening statement. So how did that go? When you were in the home, the PT would Zoom call in, you would treat the patient and the PT would observe. Like, tell me how that went. What did that look like?
Yes, he would be on FaceTime or health, and I would treat the patient regularly as I would. Even if he wasn't there, he would have inputs, or he would ask me, can you check this or something like that. I'm trying to remember. From what I remember, it was really just a normal visit with his supervision, just watching to see if anything has changed.
Did you both bill for the visit?
That I don't know. I just know that I had to make a note of it. So I'm thinking that is where the fourth visit violation has come up, is because I had to write a note that
I'm assuming
there.
He had to also write a note because he...
Do you recall, Mindy, did they both bill for...
I don't believe both visits were billed. There were two notes, but when I look at what I received from the company, it does not appear that both were billed.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you. I have no more questions. Anyone else have questions for Ms. Kashaba? All right. Do you want to make a closing statement to the board before we go into discussion deliberation?
Me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, I'm okay.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll go into then discussion. Any thoughts or, do you feel the, allegations were substantiated? I think, Josh, you've mentioned it a couple of times. This company caught a lot of people up in a hot, hot mess, and where I get torn is this, we know we have companies that don't do things well, but the practitioners, if they knew the Practice Act, they would not have been so easily caught up in it, is sort of how I feel about it, right? If they knew what the rules were, they would be practicing by their rules. It sounds like she recognized things were not going as they should and pulled herself out to just doing a couple of patients a week. So my preference would be to help have her take some education around supervision, and documentation. But that's my thought.
So I'm inclined to agree with you. I think, you know, I agree. This company in particular has caused, I know, a lot of angst to the people who have worked for it. I hope that is a solid warning to practitioners maybe in similar practices later. And I think, you know, the thing that I heard that I like is, hey, look, when I realized it was a problem, I got out. And I think that's the, biggest obligation, right? And so it sounds like, you know, they tried to fix it and then they got out. And I think at this point, the question is a little bit of education and a little bit of learning kind of how not to do that again.
Mm-hmm. Giovanni, do you have any different thoughts? Or Karen, sorry.
No, I would agree. I feel like she tried. I feel like she tried to do her Zoom meetings. I feel like she, you know, understood that there was a problem, and tried to change it, to the best of her ability. Mm-hmm. So yes, I would agree with Josh that, you know, a little bit of education and learning is a positive.
Just to make sure I'm not mistaken, with the patient needing, or with the PT needing to see the patient every fourth visit, I was under the impression that that needed to be an in-person visit. Am I incorrect in that?
I don't believe you were incorrect in that.
Okay. So that's one of the issues that I have is that it doesn't seem like these were in-person visits that were happening. They were telehealth visits that were occurring. Now, you know, is that the PTA's fault that that's how the PT was doing it? No, not necessarily. The PT also needs to know what the rule is. But I know if I'm a PTA and I have to make a decision on whether I'm going to go and see that patient afterwards when the visit wasn't done in person, I'm not going to go see that patient. So that's one of the things that I'm having a little bit of an issue with. In regard to this case,
I know we've adjudicated some of the PTs that worked in this company for not appropriately providing the supervising sessions.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that she'll learn that when she takes potentially education around supervision, especially since she's coming back here to work, even though she'll be working in SNF supervision. Will be a little different, but it's still supervision, right? And documentation of all of that. So hopefully she'll learn those things. But do you have a different thought, Giovanni, other than potentially non-disciplinary for supervision?
Well, my thought on it was to make it a disciplinary action only because that's the only way that we can have her do the jurisprudence exam.
Okay.
But I want to ensure that she knows what the rules are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I hear you.
Yeah. I think that's not unfair, Giovanni. My only concern with that is that at least when I was doing home health, you only got paid if you saw a patient. And so it directly affects their income as well. And so this is a very difficult situation that this company put so many people in. But I can absolutely appreciate and support your thought as well.
Yeah, I wish there was a way we could have a test retaken without having a disciplinary action. I support you on that for sure.
It looks like Ms. Kashaba has her hand up. I don't know if you want to entertain her at this point.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear from everyone first.
I guess, can we do a non-disciplinary and just have her voluntarily take the exam again?
She wouldn't necessarily have to do it.
That's correct. That wouldn't be enforceable.
We could recommend it, though, right? Could it be a recommendation?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know we could actually do that, so that's good to know. Not that we can't enforce it, but I'm just not sure this rises to a disciplinary action, only because she did seem to make attempts to try and recognize that while she still needed income, things just weren't right. And she said, she only worked there a month. And then she was out of there. So
that's
my hang up.
That's kind of what makes me concerned about going to a disciplinary action is it does seem like, I mean, this is a relatively short practice period, right? Relatively quickly she's there and then she's getting out. And what I am cautious about is we have, I think correctly, said of the practitioners who have been in these situations, look, if you screw up, it's on you. It's not, we can't come after the business. We're coming after you. Mm-hmm. But I also want to be cognizant of the fact that I don't want to set up a situation where I feel like we're incentivizing practitioners to, as soon as they have a disagreement with their employer, pull the plug or run. I want an opportunity to go try to fix it, to go get involved, to go talk to management. I recognize that takes some time. And so, you know, when I see somebody like this, like this woman who's coming in and trying to fix it, is there for about a month, realizes it's not fixable, and then gets out, I feel like she's done the right thing, and that makes me hesitant to do some kind of a disciplinary action.
Thank you. Ms. Kashava, would you like to address the board?
Yes, I would just like to clarify about the fourth visit. I'm aware of the rules of not being able to treat on the fourth visit, but this was during COVID, and I was told that because of COVID, you are allowed to do this. And during COVID, there was a lot of, you know, gray area. So that was the only thing. That's why I allowed it. If it wasn't COVID, I wouldn't have allowed it. I would have, you know, known better. But just during that time, it was very confusing. This was in January, February 2021, around that time. So I would just like to clarify that part.
I think anytime you have something that doesn't seem right, that's not as you would normally do, regardless of what's happening in the environment, go back to your state practice act, because it doesn't change regardless of the pandemic. Do you know what I mean? Unless there's an emergency change. And so that didn't change. Your company may have decided to practice differently than what's in the state practice act, but you're accountable to the practice act. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to make a motion to offer Ms. Kashava a non-disciplinary board order requiring 3 hours of CEUs for documentation and 3 hours of supervision. And I would recommend, although unenforceable, that she retake the Arizona law exam.
Second.
I would second that.
Okay, so a motion and a second for non-disciplinary CEUs for 6 total hours, which cannot be used for renewal for this period, and a recommendation of retaking the AZ law on her own. Any discussion?
Dr. King, what time frame did you put that in?
3 months, and it can be taken online.
My assumption is that she's still traveling, but we'll be back in 2 weeks, so that will give her time to do it. Plus, it's online. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if no discussion, then we're ready for vote.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to offer Ms. Kashava in case 2244 a non-disciplinary board order for continuing education to be completed in 3 months. The courses must be pre-approved and may be completed online. They do not count towards requirements. Continuing education shall be completed in the areas of documentation for a minimum of 3 hours and supervision also for a minimum of 3 hours. The board is also recommending that Ms. Kashava, of her own volition, take the Arizona law jurisprudence exam.
Thank you.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Kashava. The board will be in touch with you on details on this board order.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks for being here. Our next informal hearing does not start until 10. Mr. Greer, you have been on it for moving things around. Do you have a recommendation?
I think I'm out of my recommendations.
Okay. Mindy, do you have any recommendations for the next 6 to 10?
Not for cases, but you could look at your calendar for next year.
Okay. Let's move then to agenda item. Let's see, that is
12-2.
Thanks. Oh yeah, 12-2.
12-A-2.
12-A-2, 2024 prospective board meeting dates. Judy, what do the asterisks mean?
The asterisk means that that date has been adjusted to accommodate a holiday.
Thank you. I see that now.
That occurred in May, November, and December.
How much consternation did it cause our staff skipping the November meeting? Because I really enjoyed that.
Well, the pain is that you get a lot of cases in December.
I think we're paying for it today, John.
I don't want to be the Grinch, but we do with the addition of Dr. Sinish, I do believe that you're going to see it in 2024, a more even distribution of cases on each meeting, because we are catching up with some of our older cases. So if I were to predict, I would say that if you skipped November next year, that you wouldn't have an agenda like this in December.
Yeah. At that time frame, if we are still in the process of approving for exams, there is potential for a special session to be called, basically because there will be exam deadlines that, presuming you're looking at something like December 10th again, and perhaps backing the October meeting off again, like we did, in that circumstance, we're potentially looking at maybe a very short special session to do some exam approvals. That's entirely dependent upon whether where the NPTE contract negotiations land us by that time.
For the alternative pathways?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your suggestion then, of what I am hearing you say, is that we could potentially not meet in November, and if we needed to, we could have a special session. Is that what you're thinking?
Possibly, yes.
Okay. And along that lines, I would suggest if we do that, I would move that October date to the 29th and then just skip the November date altogether. But if it's a big deal to the staff, you know, I'm happy to just keep it as is. Mindy, you're muted, but I know what you're saying. You're saying you'll do whatever we appreciate what you're saying, but I really don't, if it's a burden to you guys, we can just keep it, but.
I would say it would not be a burden. From my perspective, I don't know about Judy and Monica, and I appreciate your consideration on that.
It's our hope that we have more solid direction with the negotiations that are currently underway by December of next year. Our hope is that happens much sooner than December of next year. So, Monica, feel free to chime in if we decide to make that kind of change.
I do not have a problem with that at all.
And the expectation certainly would be that you'd be fully staffed. You know,
yes,
way sooner than later for that, yes, too. So you have Monica's position replaced. Monica's moved into Veronica's position. So, okay.
And we have also additional staffing in the 25 budget. So by that time, we will be in fiscal year 2025. So we'll see what they allow us to do at that point. So, yes, that's definitely a hope. So if the board sees fit to do that, I don't see at this time that there are dramatic
increases in staff. Okay. Mr. Barton, were you going to say something?
Just a snide comment that I'm glad we're not going to be negotiating for an entire year additionally. So do we need to make a vote or an action on that, or can we just do that administratively?
I think we can make a motion.
Mm-hmm. Would you like me to take a crack at it?
Yes, sir.
I would move that we have meetings on the following dates in 2024. January 23rd, February 27th, March 26th, April 23rd, May 21st, June 25th, July 23rd, August 27th, September 24th, October 29th, and December 17th.
Second.
I will note for discussion purposes that my birthday is on February 27th and I expect a song.
You got it.
And just for clarification, Mr. Gert, you said the 17th, which is just a slight variation from what we did this year.
December?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just pulling off of the date from the agenda on that one.
Okay.
The only one that's not, the only two that aren't on the agenda are the October 22nd meeting is moving back a week to the 29th, mm-hmm. and then we're skipping the November 19th meeting.
Okay.
Josh, February, on your birthday, we'll let you read the mission statement.
Thank you.
Okay. Make a note, Judy.
Should we hold a candle while we do it?
I think you should sing it to the birthday song.
There you go.
All right. We have a motion and a second. If you're ready, let's call a vote.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded to approve the 2024 agenda calendar as outlined, or the 2024 meeting calendar as outlined in the agenda, with the exception of changing the October date to October 29th and eliminating the November 19th date. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Who did the second on that? Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Judy, do you want to stop and restart before we go into informal hearing 7C, case 2231?
I believe that would be a very good idea. Thank you for keeping me honest, Dr. King.
You gotcha.
The meeting recording will stop at 10:02.